We continue our learning. Speaking about a case where someone's paying cash and he tells to a chedvani, to the shopkeeper, I want you to give me a dinar worth, a ziz worth of produce. Vinasanlo, and the chedvani gave the buyer the peros. Amalo, and the chedvani says, Tainli asad dinar, okay, you're paying cash, so pay me the dinar now. Amalo, so the buyer, the lokach, said to the chedvani, nesativlach. I actually gave it to you, unasato, but unpoli, and I put it in this bag, put it in your purse. So the chedvani says, what do you mean? You didn't pay me. I gave you the produce. You didn't pay me. And the buyer, lokach, says, I did. So what do we do in such a case? Yishava bal habayis. So the Mishnah here says that the lokach, the bal habayis, is referring to the purchaser, the bal habayis. The buyer should take a shvua that he gave the dinar, and he gets to take the peros. Now, the Gemara explains that we're speaking about where the produce is piled in Rishus HaRabim. So no one has a chazak on the peros. And since the chedvani says that he admits that he'd sold it, so he's just that he's demanding the money, we assume that the lokeach paid, and therefore we let the lokeach be nishba venotil, in a case where one of the examples of where someone swears and gets to collect. But if the produce were in the rishus of one of the people, so then we would say hamotzei me'chavel v'araya, the burden of proof is upon the person who wants to take the produce out of the chazaka of the other person. There would, however, be a shvuas heses in such a case, where, let's say, for example, if the lokeach is the one who's muksak in the peros, he's holding on to the peros. It's already in his domain, and he claims that he already paid. So then he would take a shvuas heses to appease the seller that he paid him already, and he would get to keep the peros. And if the chenvani was the muksak, they're still in his rishus, and the lokeach claims that he paid already. The chenvani says, no, you didn't. So the chenvani gets to swear shvuas heses and will not give the peros to the lokeach until the lokeach pays him the dinar. Mishnah continues, nasan lo es hadinar. So let's say we have a case where the lokeach paid the dinar for the produce. Omar loos, then the lokeach says to the chenvani, okay, tain li es haperos. The peros are in rishus harabim, are in a public domain now. I just bought them from you, so I want you to give them to me. I paid the dinar for them, you owe me. Omar lo, what do you mean? Es satim loch. He says, no, these aren't the peros that you bought. I already gave you the peros. Yeah, I know you paid me a dinar. You paid me a dinar for the peros that you acquired in the past. You gave me a dinar. I already brought that peros to your house. The peros here in Rishus HaRabim, I never sold you. The Ran explains a little bit further what happened here. We have a case where the lokeach came to chenvani, and he says, listen, I need a dinar worth of peros, and I'll bring you the dinar at some point. So the chenvani gave him the peros, brought him to the lokeach's house, and then he went to him to collect the dinar. So the bal habayis, which is lokeach, claims, no, not true. Before you didn't give me any peros before I gave you that dinar, and I gave you the dinar now for the peros that are now rishus harabim. So that, what do we do in such a case? Says the Mishnah, yishava chenvani. The chenvani swears that he already gave the lokeach the peros. He brought them to his house already, and these peros that are in rishus harabim are not the ones that are being sold, and obviously the lokeach paid him the dinar already, and what happens is the chenvani then gets to keep the peros that are sitting rishus harabim. Because why? Because since he in this case, in previous case, we speak about the lokeach was modeh that he sold them. So then to the lokeach, but here the fruit that the lokeach thinks that he bought, the chenvani does not admit that he sold. So they're still in his rishus. They're still in rishus harabim. So he's not completely muksak. That's why he has to swear the shvuas chachamim, shvuas hamishnah, like anyone who's nishba venota. Rabbi Yehuda omer kol shah peros biyado yado al ha'elyona. Rabbi Yehuda is arguing according to different opinions in the Rishonim what he's arguing on. So according to some, Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the seifa, on what we just said in this case where the chenvani swears, where the peros were in rishus harabim, and the chenvani said, what do you mean, I brought you the peros already? So he just says, no, if the peros are biyado, yado al yona, he has the upper hand. What he means is, Whereas according to the Tanakhama, who swears, the Chenvani swears. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, no. The Chenvani is not one who does the swearing in this safe in the case we just mentioned. The Lokeach is Nishba Venotel. The Peros are not in the Rishus of the Chenvani, they're in Rishus Harabim. So therefore we view them as if they're in the Lokeach already. And therefore the Balabayis is the one who has the upper hand. Yado Aliona, the Lokeach, has the upper hand. He swears and he collects the Peros that are sitting in Rishus Harabim. And others say Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing on that case. Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the Reisha. And the Reisha, that's where we said the Balabais, the Lokech, gets to swear. Remember what happened in the Reisha? The Chenvani says, give me, where the person said to the Chenvani, give me a dinar worth of peros. And the Chenvani gave him the peros. And now the Chenvani says, give me the dinar. He says, I gave you the dinar already. I put it in your bag. So there the Lokech swears that he gave him the dinar and he gets to keep the peros. He doesn't have to pay the dinar now. So what the Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that he doesn't even need to swear, the Lokech doesn't even need to swear. Since he got the peros from the Chenvani, he has the upper hand. That's what he means. Kol she'aperos biyado, he has the upper hand without even swearing. He's able to keep the peros, and as he claimed, he gave the dinar, doesn't have to pay a dinar. Then the Mishnah continues, Amar l'shulchani, tainli bidinamos. Person goes to a money exchanger, and he says, can you give me a dinar worth of small coins? That's what he wants, smaller silver coins, a dinar worth of them. V'nasan lo, and the shulchani gave him the coins. Amar lo, so the shulchani now says, the money changer says, tain li es a dinar. Okay, I gave you the small change, give me the dinar, give me the zuz, the larger silver coin, for the smaller coins, the smaller change I gave you. Amar lo, nisativ loch, v'nasato, like the first case of the Mishnah here with the Chenvani. What do you mean? I gave you the coin already, the dinar. I put it in your purse. We're speaking about here as well, where the money is in Rishus Haramim. No one has a chazaka on that money. And since the Shulchani admits that he sold him the smaller coins, he just wants the dinar back. So Yishava Balabais, let the buyer, in this case, not the money changer, the other person has to take the shvua. Does take the shvua. And this is a Nishba Venotel, and he gets to he swears that he gave him the dinar, and he takes his money. Doesn't have to pay a dinar to the Shulchani, just like the case of the Chenvani in the Reisha. Nasan lo es hadinar. Let's say he gave the dinar to the Shulchani, and now he comes to take his smaller change, which is sitting in Rishus Harabim Amalo, and he tells the Shulchani, Tain li asamos. Okay, give me the smaller change. Amalo nisatim loch vishlachtam lesoch kischa. I went and gave them to you already, and I put them in your purse, and the ones that are here, I didn't sell you, exactly like the second case of the Chenvani. These are different coins. Yishava HaShulchani. The Shulchani should swear, just like we spoke about the Peros, and he's Nishba Venotel in the sense that he's able, doesn't have to give him the most. He claims he already did, and that's all. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Derech Shulchani Litein Isar Adshitol Dinaro. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's not the manner, not typical for a Shulchani to give the smaller coins and leave them Rishus Haram until he gets his dinar. And therefore, the Balabais, the Lokeach, will do the swearing, and he will be able to take the dinar, and we will swear rather that he gave the dinar, and he gets to take the most that are sitting with Rishus Haramim. And the Shulchani can claim, those are different coins, I didn't sell them to you. No, we have the Kornet Rabbi Yehuda, we let the buyer swear that in fact he gave him the dinar already, and he takes the most that are sitting there with Rishus Haramim. And that was, Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda, according to what some of the Rishonim, he argues on the Seifa. So that's exactly what he does in this, according to this, as well. In this case, he argued, remember in the case of Shulchan, he argued him in the second case, according to one opinion, and that's the way we explain the Mishnah now. But according to the other opinion, Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing on the second case, but rather on the first case. And he's in the first case, since the Shulchani admits that he sold him the coins, we assume that the dinar was already given, and the Shulchani has the money changer has the dinar already, and therefore the Labayis doesn't need to swear at all. Perek Zayin, Mishnah Zayin. Kesheisha Amru HaPogemes Ksuva lo tipara elo b'shvua. So the Mishnah begins like this. We learn in Ksuvas in the ninth perek, hapogemes ksuvasa. This is a woman who comes to collect her ksuva, but she admits to the husband that she already collected part of the ksuva. That's pogemes, literally made it defective in the sense that part of it was already paid. But the husband claims, no, I didn't pay you part of the ksuva, I paid the whole ksuva. You're not entitled to anything. So the halacha there is, lo ti para elo b'shvua. She is the one who has to take a shvua that in fact that she has to swear that the entire ksuva was not collected, only part of it. And what else? Veidachad miidashi prua. Or let's say if one aid testifies, I don't have two aid in, but one aid testifies that the entire ksuva were paid. Also lo tziparah l'bishvua. So this is not pogemis ksuvasa. She doesn't admit to any of it, but an aid echad says she has to swear. I mean, obviously, if two aidim say the whole ksuva was paid, then we believe them, and she doesn't get anything. Minichasim mishubanim. He have a case where a woman comes to collect her ksuva from properties that were mortgaged, that had a lien upon them and were sold to other people, and he didn't have the right to sell. So this is also or an almana who comes to collect her ksuva from the nechassim that her husband left for the orphans. Lo tipar l'bishvua. Also, she has to take a shvua. V'hanifras shelo b'fanav. A woman, let's say, who was divorced and the husband went overseas, and she's now coming to Beis Din to collect her ksuva. Lo tipar l'bishvua. She also has to take a shvua, and she takes a shvua. This is a case of nish b'avanotel. She takes a shvua and she gets to collect. We believe her that she hasn't been collected. V'chein ha'yisomim. That's when the Mishnah is saying the same way these people we listed already have to take a shvua that we learned already in Maseches Ksuvos. V'chein ha'yisomim lo yiparu ela b'shvua. The same thing. Yisomim also. Orphans who come to collect also have to take a shvua. Now, it can only be paid with a shvua. What does it mean? So the Gemara says we're talking about yisomim coming to collect from yisomim. What happened was both fathers passed away, and the one set of orphans come to the other set of orphans and your father owed our father money, and they say you know what, we're not sure if our father paid back this debt or not. So then a shvua has to be taken by the ones who are coming to claim the loan was not paid back, and therefore they take the shvua, the loan wasn't paid, and the orphans have to pay, the other orphans have to pay the debt of their father. The Gemara says, though, interestingly, let's say the orphans who are being claimed, who are the defendants here, say, our father told us that he never borrowed this money at all. And the other Yisomim take out a shtar chov. So to now say that, well, and he paid it back already, that you can't say anything. The Gemara assumes anyone who says lo levisi, it's like he says lo parati. Lo levisi, I didn't borrow, means that we assume that he borrowed it and didn't pay. Then the Mishnah says, shvua shalo pakadnu abba, v'lo amar lano abba, v'shalo matzinu, bein shtar usav shal abba, sh'shtar zeh parua. You have a case where the Yisomim, the Mishnah is explaining, how exactly do Yisomim swear? What do they swear? So they say, we swear that our father never told us, never gave us a tzava when he died, nor did he tell us before that in his lifetime, nor did we find amongst his shtaros any receipt or note that this shtar is shtar zeh parua. So they take out this shtar and they say, we don't have any, we have no record at all that this shtar was paid up. So we assume that this shtar has not been paid up and therefore you have to pay. Then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yochanan Baruch Omer, afilu nolad ha-bein l'achar misa savar ezeh nishba minotel. Even if this orphan was born after the father died, so he can't swear to the effect that my father never told me that this shtar was paid back. Nonetheless, he can swear that he didn't find amongst the shtaros of his father that the shtar was paid back. He didn't find a receipt, etc. And v'notel, and with that shvua, he'll be able to collect from the other yisomim, collect the debt. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, im yesh edim sha'amar ha'av b'shas misas shtar ze eino parua, hu nota shelo b'shvua. If there are edim who can say, testify that the father said when he was dying that this shtar has not been paid back, so then there's no shvua necessary. The yasom is able to collect with that shtar without a shvua. Why would the Tanakhama disagree with that? Why would the Tanakhama require a shvua if you have two eidim? Because we're afraid maybe the father only told this to the eidim in order to that people know that he's leaving his son a very large Yerusha. And people will think that he's will give him they'll think he's a very chashuv person, and there'll be a lot of prestige in this family for this child, and maybe therefore we shouldn't believe him. The shtar, when he says shtar ze'eno parua, he just wants to say that we have a lot of money in our family. Big Yerusha is being given to my son, and therefore the Tanna Kamma says, even if there are eidim who say against Rav Shimon Gamliel, even if there are eidim who say that what the father said when he was dying, this shtar wasn't paid back, a shvua would be required.